Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried, and this is Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast with my co-host Frank Santopadre. Our guest this week is an Emmy-winning, Tony and Oscar-nominated actress who's been gracing the big and small screen as well as the Broadway stage since the early 1960s. You know her familiar face and sultry voice from hit TV shows like The Fugitive, Columbo, Saint Elsewhere, The Golden Girls, Ally McBeal, The King of Queens, Friends, Nip Tuck, and the recent Sex and the City reboot, and Just Like That. She's also given memorable performances in movies like Summer Tree, Zorro the Gay Blade, Capricorn 1, Airport 77, The First Deadly Sin, The Mirror Has Two Faces, Love Affair, HBO's You Don't Know Jack, and Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, as well as Jacqueline Suzanne's Once Is Not Enough, for which she was nominated for an Oscar, and of course as a seductive Manhattan socialite in the 1969 film classic Midnight Cowboy. She's also received Tony nominations for her work in Broadway productions of Cactus Flower and The Goodbye People, and co-starred in a Neil Simon productions, The Odd Couple and Jake's Women. In her long and very impressive career, this lady has worked alongside Robert Mitchum, Jack Lemmon, Kirk and Michael Douglas, Dustin Hoffman, Warren Beatty, Peter Falk, Michael Caine, Vincent Price, Frank Sinatra, Barbara Streisand, and Al Pacino, as well as our podcast guests, Lee Grant, Alan Alda, Ron Liebman, Richard Benjamin, Sally Struthers, and Barry Levinson. Frank and I are happy to be back in the Sirius XM studios and excited to be talking to one of our favorite actors and a woman who says she used to sneak into Broadway plays with James Caan and Dabney Coleman, the great Brenda Vaccaro.
Wow, that's some review.
Brenda.
I'm scaring me how old I am.
I think we dropped one of your Tony nominations.
I feel like I'm 104 right now.
thanks for being here. We're back at Sirius XM just to bring everybody up to speed.
You did that brilliantly, darling.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my God, I'm exhausted from yes. all that work.
See, I always say these double as obituaries.
It's so true. Prop up out of the coffin and say, Jesus, thank you so much. I'd forgotten.
Brenda, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we're back at Sirius.
I think it's great that you do this show.
Do you?
I think it's an honor and a pleasure.
That's very
and
kind.
And I love going back to the past because more and more as I see what the future is and the present.
This show's all about that.
I think, Jesus Christ, get me out of here. You know, so I think the past has such great class and such style, and there were wonderful people
yep.
that you could make friends with and that you could remember and remember with glee and joy.
You're on the right show.
You know, now you can't wait to get rid of them.
Is that how you feel about Gilbert?
Yes. No, not at all. Gilbert's
wonderful.
You
want to explain what was in that intro that you used to sneak into to Broadway shows?
Yes.
We'd ask
it was Jessica Walter and Liz Ashley. It was really the girl group. We would ask the, who are those usherettes?
Yeah.
Can we see the second act of West Side Story? She'd go, yeah, okay, stay in the back. And we would sneak in and we would see the second act.
And you guys were all students at Neighborhood Playhouse those days. With Jimmy
Kahn. We tried that a lot of times. A lot of times we got a no. You know, but the times we got a yes were like glorious.
I remember I snuck in to see Midnight Cowboy.
The film?
Yes.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes. It was at the Cameo Theater on Eastern Parkway.
I love it, Gilbert. You remember the theater.
Yes,
you saw it.
Yes.
Isn't that great?
And I remember there was a side door, and you could kind of get your fingernails in it.
And sneak
and,
it.
Yeah. Because they wouldn't allow us. It was like an X film.
Yes, it was at the time.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. How'd you get that part? I know Marion Doherty was the casting agent.
Yeah, she was great. Boy, there's who's the likes of her now?
A legend.
Maybe Bonnie Timmerman.
Yeah, but not a lot of them around.
Not at all. There's not a lot of anything around anymore.
John Schlesinger had seen you on Broadway?
No. Yes, he had. He was not impressed, but Marion pushed me. And because he didn't think I was right for the part.
Okay.
And so I came in and I auditioned, and I think... I don't know. He just called me back. I don't want to say he was impressed, but he called me back. He was terribly English, you know. Thank you very much for coming. One of those where you thought, well, that's doom. If I've ever heard doom in a voice, that was it. Thank you very much for coming. And then he asked me back, and then he asked me back, and John Voight was there, and I read with John. And then my agent, Arnold Hosquith, at the time, started getting excited. He said, I think something's going to go on here. You know, he started to feel that it was going to happen. I had to audition quite a few times before he settled with it.
I saw in an interview with you that Voight and Hoffman weren't his first choices. He was after Michael Sarrazin.
That's he was.
For the Joe Buck.
And Michael Sarrazin was not permitted to leave his contract.
Interesting.
With somebody else. And I think that just was the end of his career, to tell you the truth. Think about it. It would have made his career, and it would. These are the things that happen
Turning
and make
points.
You feel like you're in
and,
Vegas.
Oh, and the
you
other
chose
one.
The wrong card at the wrong moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The other one who was supposed to be Joe Buck was what's his name? Blonde haired, very handsome actor was in Barbarella.
Oh, I know who you mean.
Three names.
Oh, God. Yeah.
He was supposed to be?
Was it John Philip Law?
John Philip Law.
Oh, my
God. Very good, Gil.
They asked him to be in,
Midnight Cowboy.
Joe Buck. And I think the movie he turned it down for.
He turned it down.
Yeah. And because, I mean, why would you turn down a movie that has, how can it not be a great film if it has Jackie Gleason and Groucho Marx in it?
Oh, he turned it down for that movie?
For Skidoo?
Skidoo.
Unbelievable.
He turned down. Why he didn't kill himself right then?
Well, I mean, he was very handsome.
Yes.
But he was just a little stupid. I didn't think the guy had a keen eye about where he was going. You know what I mean?
Now, Schlesinger...
I didn't think he was a career strategist.
You like Schlesinger, although I heard you say in an interview he could be a little on the bitchy side.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Always bitchy and then laughing hysterically after he'd say something so cruel.
And he wanted you to be nude. And this is where Anne Roth comes into the story.
Right. Oh, you know that.
Yes.
Oh,
my. Yes. Because you had a famous line that you said to him about your mother.
Yes. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I think he kind of went along with pasties on your nipples and panties on. And he kind of didn't say anything when I came out with the pasties. And he never looked to see if I had panties, but I did. And I got into bed, and, oh, they were driving me crazy. I was doing this a lot, moving them around and doing... And finally he said, take the fucking things off. You know, and I said, really? He said, yes. He said, Julie Christie and Darling took them and threw them across the room. I said, oh, okay. I did. I threw them across the room. You know, and that did that. And, but he was very bawdy about everything.
Yeah.
You know?
What did you say to him about your mother?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a funny line.
The greatest story is Anne Roth, because I was panicked.
Yeah.
To continue the work without any cover, without anything. And she said, don't worry about it, we'll fix it. And I said, we will. And this was her first film, I think, wasn't it? I think it was her first film.
It's interesting. May have been.
Yeah. And I'd worked with her in Cactus Flower. She had done my costumes there, so I knew her.
Still with us.
And
in her 90s.
Yeah.
Anne Roth.
Oh, yeah. Working. Yeah. Yes. Just went to London. Because of a contractual thing. And
tell us about John Voight and Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, they were great. They were wonderful. But I want to tell you this thing about Anne Roth, because this was kind of movie magic.
Okay.
So she said, I'll fix it. Don't worry. And I said, how? Because he wants me nude. She said, let me think about it. So she went back to Pennsylvania where she lives, not because of me, just that's her house. So she went there, and on her way home, she stopped at like a drugstore or like something that would be like, what, a store where you go in and buy everything.
A general store?
Yeah. Like, okay, something like that. And she, on her way in, she sees this guy with his trunk open, and inside he's got all these furs. So she goes up to him and she said, let me ask you something. What's all the furs about? He said, what do you want to know for? And she said, well, I was just wondering if I could buy that red fox, that coat. Yeah. So he said, yeah, how much? She said, 250. He said, yeah, take it. She gave him 250 in cash. She went to her purse. She gave him 250 in cash. Uh-huh. It was magic that she had 250 in cash in those days.
Yeah, sure. No ATMs.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And she brought it in the next day. She said, here's what you're wearing in the scene.
And saved you.
Saved me.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. That was like, you know.
And Mom and Aunt Margie didn't have to see
and
you.
And so when Schlesinger saw me, he said, oh, darling, I absolutely adore it. Annie, brilliant. I love. See, fucked in Fox.
So tell us about Voight and Hoffman.
Well, I mean, they were really splendid guys. I mean, they were fun to work with. It was easy. It was cozy. They both were theater people. You know, they had done plays. They had done off-Broadway. I love Dustin. I just thought he was a hoot, you know. And you know how he got this part. Did you know how he got the part?
Didn't he drag Schlesinger to see a waiter?
See a waiter in the meat market area.
Right.
He takes him to a restaurant, and this guy whose hair was all going in different directions and was like, you know, one of these, and had... pants that were hanging off of him, and he had a limp, and he looked at Schlesinger and he said, you see him? That's Ratso. And Schlesinger turned to him and he said, I think you've just got the part.
How about that?
Oh, my God.
Very clever.
That's how he did it. And I think that's just because, you know, who was he going to put in Ratso? What actor was good enough to do a Ratso? And what original look, what original persona would that be, because it's such an important part? It's the integral part of the whole piece.
You had worked with Dustin years earlier. Do you have any memory of that?
No.
You were in it. I'm going to have to dig it out of my notes. But you were in it.
I'm too old to remember.
An early TV performance with him. I'll come back to it. But do tell Gilbert.
I would not be surprised.
Tell Gilbert about
I adore him. And I adore John Voight. Is just, you know, he was like, so innocent in front of the camera. He'd go, "Do I look better this way?" Doing a muscle pose.
He was a little into himself.
He wanted to do Joe Buck, but he was so Joe Buck.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean?
That
kind of would sit there on the bed going.
It's funny when you look back on the young John Voight.
Yes.
His daughter.
Angelina Jolie.
It's Angelina Jolie. You go, oh my God.
She definitely looks like her father.
Yeah. Yes. She looks like that young, when he was, because he was a pretty actor.
Yeah. And unfortunately, politically, is just as confused as he
is. Unless IMDb is full of shit, Brenda, you were in a show called The Doctors and the Nurses in 1965 with a young Dustin Hoffman.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Now, before Gilbert...
You know who produced that? Quinn Martin.
Am I
right?
Probably. Probably.
Quinn Martin was one of the greatest television producers at the very beginning.
He produced everything back then.
Do you remember?
Yes.
That's the first time I worked for Quinn. I loved Quinn Martin.
Tell Gilbert about the party scene where all the Andy Warhol people showed up, and you were talking about the girl who dyed the monkey green.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Does this ring a bell? Yeah.
Yes. Schlesinger invited everybody in from New York.
Yes.
City.
Yes.
To the party.
Yeah.
Word went out, and every creature, crazy or not crazy, showed up. And when I came to work one morning, I walk into the set, which was that building that we're going to have the party in. I don't know, it had stairs like this. I can't remember. There was big rooms all over. I think it was Andy Warhol's, one of his buildings.
May have been, because Viva's in the movie and some of the Warhol people are in the movie.
Anyway, there's a girl standing there and she had on a green outfit. I'm trying to remember now all this. And there was a green monkey sitting on her. And a green parrot on this side. Her nails were green and her hair was green. And she said, "Good morning. I'm here for the party." And I went, "Really?" I couldn't believe that somebody like this would get asked into the party.
Weren't there just like couples having sex too,
yes,
in your dressing room?
Yeah, well, yeah. I found somebody doing that in my dressing room. it was 1960s, you know, freak out fun.
Sure.
No rules. Schlesinger wanted that. He wanted this crazy party that he knew was happening in America right then and there. You know, people were free in an exotic and eccentric way.
Interesting.
The Andy Warhol way. Look at his people, you know. What was her name? Ultraviolet.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was kind of like, you'd say, "Are they crazy?" You know, you'd lean forward to a friend that wasn't and say, "What's with them?" You know, and this girl that was all green, I don't think she got into the party.
Uh-huh.
Because I think she was really gone.
Or the monkey.
Yeah, or the monkey. Or the parrot.
Gilbert, now would be a good time for you to favor Brenda with a little bit of your John MacGyver from Midnight Cowboy.
Yes.
Joe Buck, you got a strong back, Joe Buck. You're going to need it. Oh, get on your knees. Get on your knees and let's pray, Joe Buck.
That's brilliant. Oh, my God, that's so good.
We finally have somebody here from Midnight Cowboy.
I'll say. And wasn't he brilliant?
Great.
Wasn't he the right person to cast in that part?
Perfect.
And then when he opens the door.
And he was.
And there's Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Get out on your knees.
I just rewatched it.
And every other part he played was a comedy part.
Yeah.
And this was perfect.
Yeah.
He was brilliant.
Yeah.
I never forget that casting. It was some of the brilliant casting that John did.
Oh, it's terrific.
He did surprising actors. You went like, what?
Even small parts. Balaban,
yes,
too, who was here.
Yes. Oh, God, wasn't that great?
Yeah, yeah.
That scene, he was pretty damn brave to do that scene.
He was a kid. You were a kid.
Yeah.
Were you 21, 22?
We were all kids.
Yes, yeah. I think I introduced him as the guy who blew John Voight.
Yes.
In the movie theater. And then doesn't have any money.
Well, that was the only way to do it in those days. Oh, my God. Let me tell you.
Lonesomeness is something you take you here. Damn it, you take it and you go right on with your work. That's all there's talk.
I'm ready to go, sir.
Yes, I believe you are. Cowboy, eh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Ready for some hard work, son?
I'm ready for anything.
Yeah, I reckon it's going to be a lot easier for you, Joe Buck, than for most others.
It's going to be like money from home, sir.
Money from home. There's your strength, son, see? You got the way of putting things earthy so they anybody can understand them. I warn you, Joe Buck, I'm going to use you. I'm going to run you ragged. You're a wonderful boy. You and me, we're going to have fun together. It don't have to be joyless.
Hell no.
Don't have to be.
Say, why don't you and me get right down on our knees right now? How's that strike you?
Where?
Right here! 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 Right now! Why not? Why not? I prayed in the streets. I prayed in the saloons. I prayed in the toilets. It don't matter where, so long as he gets that prayer!
Oh! You know, you, like a lot of guests we've had on this show,
Yeah. You've
worked with Milton Berle.
Oh, yeah.
I have to go to the next question. Did you ever see Milton Berle's dick?
No. You know how happy I am about that? If I had to say yes, this conversation would have gone on way too long.
You dodged a bullet, Brenda.
But he talked about it a lot.
Did he?
And I finally said, what? I'm not interested. Shut the fuck up. was a character of the... Do you know he upstaged me once? You know what he did? He replaced my father in the Herb Gardner play.
The Goodbye
play.
People. Yeah.
Silverman, that was his name. And he walked all the way upstage to say his line.
Wow.
So if I had walked up there, I would have been upstaged. Because then he would have probably gone around. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So he was upstaging me. It was an old-fashioned way to upstage somebody. So I thought, oh, I don't give a shit. I walked up there, and I looked at him, and I said, okay, say that line again in front of the audience. So he said it again. He was like, beside himself, and I turned to the audience, and I said, you see? And I said my line. I was like, you're not going to do this to me and
he
get away with it.
He was famous for upstaging.
Yeah. You're not going to get away with it, me.
Now, what did he say about his dick?
No. You know something? How big it was? How women would swim around in it? I don't know. Listen. He was embarrassing. He was really embarrassing.
Did he see you run into him in a club years later or the Friars or something, and he said, this one is funny?
He said, Brenda McCara, watch out, she's funny. Like that, you know, because but he was scared of me after a while.
Imagine.
You know, you couldn't do that to me. You couldn't upstage me without me knowing I was being upstaged. Or if he would flub a line, I would say to him, you want to say that again? So my laugh line makes sense. Do you know that, in other words, somebody flubs the setup to your laugh line? I would look at him on the stage, not so the audience, but it would go, you want to say that line again? You know, say it again. And he would say it again. So in the end, I was bossing him around like his wife, Ruth. He had no chance with me because I didn't fall apart
$2 suit. Was he insecure because the role was too big for him?
I think he was because one time, Walter Matthau, I heard him go backstage.
Yeah.
And he went into his room and read him the riot act.
Really?
What's wrong with you? You can't have an accent? What's wrong? Who is this character? Who are you playing? Do you have a picture in your mind? That was Matthau.
Wow.
Tell us about Matthau.
I loved him. Oh, my God. I never got to work with him.
Yeah.
But wasn't he brilliant?
Oh, great. My God. Yes.
You did work with Jack Lemmon, and you notice we're jumping around here a lot.
Yeah, but I love Jack Lemmon.
I'm going to make segues here, because before we turn the mics on, we'll tell the audience that
Brenda showed us. And before we go, Walter Matthau.
I didn't work with Walter, but I knew him. And he always, in Universal Commissary, how you doing, kid? Yeah. And he'd wink. That meant a lot to me.
He's
going
to do a little math out for you.
Oh, do it.
This the kind of person you're going to be for the rest of your life. You're not going to make any effort to change.
I wish you guys could see Brenda laughing and applauding.
He's the best.
He's a great mimic, isn't he?
You're the best, darling.
How many John MacGyvers?
That makes me miss him. That's from the one he did with
Jack Lemmon.
Odd Couple.
Yeah. Oh, Odd Couple, it was that?
Yeah. It's the 10th floor village.
The Curse of the Cat People.
Oh, God, weren't they great? And the one he did with, who was the little guy, the comic, famous.
Oh, George Burns and the
Sunshine Boys. George Burns, wasn't that the best performance?
The best.
I love that character he played.
I just want to say,
impenetrable. Too, you could not get a word of sense into him at all.
It's the Marashko Theater.
It's so true.
Let's quickly segue so we don't lose the thread. Jack Lemmon, before we turn the mics on, Brenda opened up her phone and showed us a picture of her from the set of Airport 77, which you did with Jack.
Yes.
Scary.
And she terrified Gilbert and I with this photograph. Why don't you tell our listeners what the photograph was?
It's me jumping off a helicopter plane, into the water, which was the Pacific Ocean, 12 miles out from San Diego. And with, I think, 6 or 7... what do you call those guys?
Navy SEALs
in a plastic boat.
Yeah.
With their hands up like this. Without my shoes, meaning that the plane was sinking. That's what they were trying to show. And that I had to jump into the water to save myself. And I had on this jacket.
Right.
And I was crying. I said to Jack, I don't want to do this. I just got over pneumonia. I can't do this. And he kept saying, kid, this is showbiz. Come on, don't cry. Just get the thing over with. Jump and go for it. They're going to catch you. It's okay, Brenda. You're going to be okay. What if I die or break my neck or something? He said, you're going to be fine. You're going to go. Just go for it. Just go. And so he was standing there like this. You see his hands? They were crossed.
Yeah.
He had just gone like this. He'd just given me that push. And he was waiting to see what happened.
I just watched it last night, and I assumed that you guys were in the tank at Universal.
No way.
And you were actually in the Pacific Ocean.
In the Pacific Ocean.
That's a great...
And I'd just gotten back from 2 weeks of trying to heal from pneumonia because every day they put water all over you. As a matter of fact, Olivia de Havilland, I have a picture of her with her false eyelash this way, hanging on her face.
I was
going
to ask you about that. When they flood the set and
it
you guys are hit
huge
with the water.
Things like this coming at you.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, they hit her in her chest, and she screamed like you can't believe.
Really?
She was like, if she had put that in her performance of The Heiress, she would have won 3.
Wait, so you're in the scene with Robert Foxworth and Monty Markham.
Oh,
and,
everybody,
and
look at that.
And Lee.
And Lee Grant.
And, yeah, and you guys are all suddenly, they let go of this water. In this tank.
Everybody showed up, didn't they? Joseph Cotton.
Joseph Cotton's in there.
He had an ascot on. Yeah. I think he was sick.
Yeah.
From smoking or something.
I don't know. But
he was such a gentleman. Oh my God.
We've never interviewed anybody who got hit with water like that or
within
that kind
the
of a special
water
effect
was forceful.
Scene. Yeah, I can imagine.
And so what they were trying to do was to create the kind of force that when you land at the bottom of the ocean or you're on your way down there, there's a lot of water flushing in. So I think a lot of actors were scared. It was scary.
You and Jack had good chemistry.
Did you at any point think, like, all right, enough, I got to get out of this?
Yeah. You mean that movie in particular?
Yeah.
I kind of had a bad time because, number one, I got sick. Because every day that my blouse was wet, my bodysuit was wet, you know, you were freezing. You were cold, you know. And then they do the water again. It was warm water. It was arduous. You know, an arduous experience.
And now you could stay at home and they could just computerize you in the ocean.
I guess, yes. It's a different kind of thing. One time, one of the women who was married to one of the producers, and she used to be a singer in France. Don't ask. I don't know nothing about her. She's standing on the set. You want to know? And because it's when the plane falls back into the water and she's like this. She's doing this. And Jerry Jameson, who's the director, said, hey, he said, whatever her name was, Nicole. I can't remember her name. You don't have to do that, honey. We have a hydraulic plane. We can do that. You know, people were doing the most ridiculous things to try to look like they were really involved in this crash.
What about your fight in that scene with your longtime friend and our guest, Lee Grant?
I know.
And she's hysterical. Well, set the scene because I watched it last night. She's hysterical. She's married to Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
She's trying
He's,
to...
But he's in the water.
He's in the water.
He can't get back in the plane, right?
She's trying to open the door
to get him.
And you're the flight attendant that has to prevent her from opening the door.
Correct.
That's going to let the water rush again. And you and Lee have to fight.
Yes, we have to fight to get the door. Because you can't open the door, you idiot. I said, if you open the door, then all the water's going to come in and kill everybody, right? And her husband's at the window going, me, I want in. So she goes crazy to try to open the door, and I try to stop her, you know?
Yeah.
And she really got very upset. In the scene, she was pushing me and pushing, doing it real, and I was like, could you calm down,
please? You guys were friends to this point.
Yes.
You'd already made the TV special together.
What the fuck are you doing? You're beating me up. You know, so that was one take that didn't go.
And you finally land a punch on her.
Yes, I did. You saw that?
Yeah,
I got tired.
It's great.
Of her state of reality. It had to be so real for her, you know?
We love Lee.
Now I got to mention a name. I was trying to hold it till later, but everyone's bringing it up, and that's Michael Douglas.
Oh, God. We were puppies. We were young colts together.
Sweet.
Yeah. He was wonderful.
Your hippie boyfriend.
He was a hippie dippy.
Yeah.
That's what I called him.
So that was in Streets of San Francisco you met him?
No, Summer Tree.
What?
Where did I meet him?
On Summer Tree, didn't you?
Yes, he chose me to be in Summer Tree with him. Yes, he did.
Yeah, Streets of San Francisco.
And that
came
was
later.
The film his father let him produce.
Right.
Or his father's company produced it.
And tell Gilbert
who
the director of that picture was.
Anthony Newley. Can you imagine? I don't know how that
happened. Oh, geez. Anthony Newley?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
What kind of fool am I who never fell in love?
So
you
perfect.
Think that I'm the only one that I have been thinking of. What kind?
You know you were going to get a show, did you, Brenda?
That is so great.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's amazing, colossal podcast, but first, a word from our sponsor.
With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot, you can get up to $2,300 off select kitchen packages from top brands like GE Profile. That means you can save on a new GE Profile smart quad door refrigerator that's full of convenient features like a dual dispense autofill pitcher and an ice dispenser with up to 12.5 pounds capacity. Bring convenience to your kitchen with smart, innovative appliances from GE Profile. Right now, save up to $2,300 on select kitchen packages with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What can I say? Because he was an interesting dude. He really was. I think he was looking for a girlfriend, I think. And he wasn't with Joan Collins yet. And he seemed kind of desperate and sort of like he felt he was out of place directing this.
Interesting.
You know, he wasn't comfortable.
Interesting.
And why he took the job, I don't know, you know. But he was very competitive with Michael. You know, and Michael and I were forming this kind of new relationship, and he was trying to get in the middle of it, and, you know, he was like a bit of a nuisance. But I really felt very kindly towards him because of his work. His work was brilliant. Do you know the singing?
Good songwriter, too.
Yeah.
There's always a joker in the back. There's always a cardboard clown. The poor painted fool falls on his back. But everyone laughs when he's down.
I love that song.
There's always
what is that
a
song?
Funny man in the game. But he's only funny by mistake. Everyone laughs at him just the same. They don't see his painted heartbreak.
Jesus, where does that come from? That's some musical none of us have seen.
I don't even know. What is that from? Stop the World, I Want to Get Off?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
Stop the World, I Want to Get
that's
Michael, Off.
That's just a pure guess.
And Leslie Bricus and him
Leslie,
were like,
just
yes.
Just lost Leslie Bricus.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple
yeah,
months ago.
He used to write those songs for him.
Huge talent. So to follow Gilbert's thread, and we don't really do gossip here, but we'll do a little bit of it.
Sure.
You and Michael obviously clicked.
Yeah.
On that movie, and that launched a 7-year relationship.
7 years. It was wonderful in many ways. We came to Hollywood. He was in New York. He did a play called Huntsville. And his father said to me as we walked backstage, he's not going to do theater. And I said, he's not? Why? He said, he doesn't have the voice for it. Take it back to go back to Hollywood.
How interesting.
Isn't that interesting? He said he's going to be a star, but he's not going to be a theater star. Because you have to, and that's one of the things that's really true. You know, he doesn't have that kind of a voice.
Projection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that kind of a voice that you need to be on the stage.
Gilbert, you're a projector. You could
understand projection.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Michael had it. But in the movies, he became like that, you know, Streets of San Francisco. We packed up. I had a cat that had 3 babies. I took them on the plane. And we went to, I gave up my apartment mm-hmm. in Gramercy Park. Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved it. Anyway, I gave up my apartment there, and I went to New York to live a life with him there. And he was right. We went to build a Stairway to Paradise, and by God, we did. We ended up sitting in a circle. Everybody wore white. There was Joni Mitchell, uh-huh. Warren Beatty,
wow.
Julie Christie, Guy and Brenda, Jack, and I don't know, Robert Towne.
Wow.
Smoking a joint.
What a crowd.
Talking about what we were going to do in Hollywood.
Angelica wasn't there?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
What did you guys?
But when I met her, she became my best friend, and Angelica she is did. Up to this day. I adore her.
Oh, we're big fans.
Oh, my God. She's crazy.
We had Danny here, as I told you. Danny Houston.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
So you guys had some sort of ceremony, but it wasn't a wedding.
It was a hippie ceremony, thank you very much.
Okay.
It was in Joel Dean's backyard. He was our agent. And I wore a long dress with flowers in my hair. Like, you know, these girls that were all on Sunset Boulevard sitting on this sidewalk with little elastic things here that came off. And then the Ampere elastic. And down dresses, flock velvet down to the bottom. And they'd come up to the car at a red light and they'd throw a joint in the car and go, peace.
Great days, Brenda.
That was the best. That was the best. I smoked it too. Trust me. Trust me. Things were pure in those days.
Did Kirk want you guys to make it official?
I think he did. Yes, yeah. I think Ann did too. I think I was there long enough.
Yeah, you were.
You know,
pictures.
Kirk would say things. Tell me you're trying. Just tell me you're trying.
Now, Kirk, Kirk is like the definition of a movie star.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like you can't. There'll never be one like that ever again.
And you know, so. I really learned a lot from him because during the rushes of Summer Tree, he would be sitting in the back and he'd say, Brenda. And yes, sir. He'd say, when it's a close up on you and it's that close, you can't move. Do not move your hands. Don't move. You're moving too much. Just be still. Say your lines. Find another way to adjust.
Well, how interesting.
And it was interesting. See, that was a lesson.
He tell you
and
how
when
to walk
I did in. That other movie that Howard Koch produced, he knows more than
I
do.
The Jekyll and Suzanne movie?
Yes.
Once is not enough.
He was in it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And he would say, don't turn your head that fast. You're turning your head too fast. He said, you need to have a new reverence for the camera.
That's fantastic.
A reverence.
Did he tell you how to enter the set, to walk onto the
set? Oh, yes. Oh, this was great. He said, my dear, he said, here is the key. And you are a star. You're becoming a big star. I want you to walk on that set every morning and have people ask you, is anything wrong? Can we get you anything? What can we do? Are you all right? And I said, really? He said, listen to me. Do what I say. He said, you're in command now.
So he had it to a science.
How about that?
To a science. That's a wonderful thing to say.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool what he said.
Yes.
You're so right,
yes,
sweetheart. He had it down to a science. He knew what to do all the time. And I saw one of the greatest moments of nepotism in my life. When Michael Douglas convinced him to give him Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, he was.
After he had given it, or was thinking of giving it to Peter Fonda, and Michael was having a shit fit in the cab up to a Japanese restaurant. God knows where. Who remembers? Yeah. I don't even remember the sushi. And we're in the cab, and here's Michael, Dad, give it to me. I grew up with it. I know the guy. You know, I mean, I know the book. It really belongs to me. I want to produce it. I've got $150,000 in that thing. I can't give it to you. I got to give it to somebody who's produced something. Dad, I'm the producer. I'm telling you right now, I can handle this thing. I know exactly what to do with it. It's got to be written as a screenplay. I've got Larry Taubin ready to do it. I'm going to make you more than $150,000. You listen to me. I'll make you millions with this picture because it belongs to me. And I'm going like this and looking at him in the middle.
Wow.
In the back seat. I heard it.
Wow.
I heard him win his father over. Finally, Kirk got out on the wrong side of the street, said, I'm getting out of here. All right. You can have it.
And movie history was made.
Movie history was made.
That cab ride.
Kirk. Isn't that great? That's a true story.
When you saw the Oscars, the ceremony, and you see Cuckoo's Nest winning Best Picture.
But we all knew it was going to be.
You got to think, I was in the cab when
all happened. But that beautiful moment when people use the word nepotism, you know, if it can be that beautiful, if you can win it with such grace and such wisdom about what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, and you can't give it to Peter Fonda, I'm of the same generation, Dad. You give it to me. It's me who deserves
it. Made magic.
And I read it, and I know that book backwards and forwards, and you can't give it to anybody but me. And I see this plea, and I see Michael leaning forward talking, and I thought, wow, this is beautiful. This better work. I got goosebumps just now. This better work.
Kirk Douglas spent years trying to get that made for him.
He spent thousands. He had $150,000 in it, if I recall. And for him at that moment, in this time in his life, I think it was a lot. I mean, you know, people thought more of $150,000 than they do today.
It's impressive when you think of Michael being a young producer, not really, not seasoned.
No, he'd never done
said,
well.
But he has the sense to bring in Milos Forman and Nicholson.
But that's after a lot of people.
Uh-huh. But still.
He was still with not knowing. They were really judgmental. But the great thing was Jack Nicholson. You know, they worked on writing this thing. He closed himself off in a room with Larry Hobbin, and they would write, and I'd do this and put a sandwich on a piece of plate and shove it in there. We're not eating. Oh, God, they're on drugs again. Okay.
You were living with
Michael. Well, you know, in Benedict Canyon.
Right.
But it was like that was the 70s in Hollywood, you know.
Wow.
Everybody was on drugs. You name it, they were on it. They were on it, man, you know. That's why we were back in the days when we got the hippie wedding. We were with Joel Dean, and there was this table that was laid out. Instead of cake, it was all these joints. These joints and booze. Bottles of booze, whiskey, bourbon, vodka, and all these joints, baby.
But you didn't like LSD, you said, because it made you see.
Oh, we were in Bali, Indonesia. I didn't like it at all.
You didn't like it.
They make it from the cow shit over there. It's kind of bluish.
I see. You didn't like
and
it.
And all you do after you've seen some one thing eight times, like this thing, eight times, you go, I want off of this. Anybody got anything like two Tylenol? Anybody got aspirin?
You can't say you didn't try everything.
I tried. I tried. There. Yeah.
You were, when in Rome. And speaking of getting advice, and Nicholson, he gave you career advice, too.
Oh, he did. That guy was great.
What did he tell
you?
Well,
not was. He's alive, but I adore Jack Nicholson.
What did he tell you?
He said, I'll tell you something, baby. He said, don't you do television. I said, but I make money at it. Don't do television. You're a movie star. And I said, but that's ridiculous. I'm an actor. You are a movie star, Brenda. And if they're looking at you at this size, and he did his hands like cinema. What is that? Was it cinema? The huge.
Oh, CinemaScope?
CinemaScope.
Yeah.
His hands were out here. I didn't know there was a screen that big. And he said, and they see you this size? Do you really think they're going to come and pay to see you in this size?
It's fascinating advice.
Isn't it something he said? Never do it because it diminishes the star capabilities, the star position.
And yet
or something. He used a better word. I can't think. But anyway, he was determined that I shouldn't do American television.
No, he popped up.
He's never done television. The only place you've ever seen him
very young.
Is a basketball game.
Two Andy Griffith shows.
But he wasn't. No. But he wasn't Jack Nicholson yet. Yeah. Yes, he was on the Andy Griffith show.
Yeah, well, you never saw him again except at the basketball game.
Not till he's right before
he's one of the Andy Griffith shows, it's like, every sitcom has to do their 12 Angry Men episode. So Aunt B was on the jury, he's a guy accused of stealing a television set.
Oh, my God.
And I think he was
he good?
I think he was the father of a bully.
Yes.
He leaves.
He has a baby and leaves it in the town.
That's right. Yes. But this is so long before.
Almost like his real life.
Yeah. Yes.
Long before he's a
He had babies
star.
With different people.
Speaking of movie stars that you loved, Robert Mitchum.
Yeah, I loved him. He was like everything to me.
Really?
Yeah, everything.
Can't find that movie either.
Going home.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I learned everything from him. Everything. He was just, Brenda, watch yourself. You got the common touch. I said, what's that? People think they can come up and hug you and touch you. You know, and he said, they can hug you. And he said, it's no good. Just keep walking, baby. Don't look back.
I love it.
Isn't that something? He was like, I was so in love with him, I couldn't see straight. And I just worshiped the ground he walked
That's
on
a
because
movie
he
star.
Didn't act. He was, he right. just was to be.
Right.
You know, I saw him lose his temper. I saw him hold up a bag of grass in one of those black garbage baggies, the brown one.
Yeah.
And he said, I guess this will get us through the summer.
He liked his
and
cannabis.
And I said, yeah. And I said, what is that? And he went, like I'm an idiot. You think I'm holding garbage here? He said, this is Michoacán. And I said, Michoacán. What an idiot. You know, he couldn't get over how dumb I was. He said, that's a state in Mexico where they have the best grass grown and known to man.
He would know.
Who brought that to you? A little guy on a burro with a sombrero on, all right? What more do you need to know? And he said, just try it. Well, we rolled one. I tried it. Guess what? I need to be carried back.
I bet.
I need a gurney to take me back to my room. It makes you like this. Just.
I wish we had video. Brenda's,
you were at peace, man.
Out the chair.
You want to talk about peace from grass? You were at peace.
That's a movie star, though, huh? Night of the Hunter.
And you worked with Peter Falk.
Yes. Charming.
A couple of times. Cookie.
Yeah.
Susan Seidelman's movie.
Yeah.
And you did a Columbo.
I had a Rottweiler at the time, and I brought Philo to work. And so under the table where everybody was eating out by the beach, because we were doing, God, that was such a rich show. The table was long. The fried chicken was
Columbo,
great.
You mean?
Yeah, Columbo.
Yeah. So they had a good craft services?
And I had Philo with me, and Philo was very interested in Peter Falk. I don't know why. And he kept going between his legs and going, like a puppy. And Peter kept saying to me, is this dog all right? It's a Rottweiler. I said, no, don't worry, Peter. Get this dog off of me. You know, and the dog then put both legs up on his thighs and wanted to kiss him. And he went, God almighty, Brenda, get this dog off me. It's a Rottweiler.
You like
he loved animals.
Yes, yes.
But you know, this was scaring. The Rottweiler scared him.
You liked him personally.
Oh, I loved him.
Yeah.
I loved him. He would say things like, you see her do that scene? It's in front of the crew. That is a great actress. That's what you are. You know how he would. He could love actors. He was so good to everybody.
Now, what I said was that your baby sister, she's so beautiful.
Teresa was only 2 years younger than I, Lieutenant.
Oh, look, I didn't mean. No. You know, I had this younger brother. He was like a year and 7 months younger than me, but I called him baby. So did everybody else, so I just said that automatically.
Never mind. But you're right, of course. She never had a facelift either.
Facelift, huh? Oh, ah, she's a natural beauty. And she's so sweet to everybody. Look, even when they ask her dumb questions, look how sweet she is.
Lieutenant, I thought you were out looking for her killer.
Oh, I am, ma'am. There's just some things that I want to learn about her first.
Like what? Like she never quite ever grew up? Never stopped talking to strangers? Was always the fairy princess in the family? Except that hasn't bothered me since high school when she got all the dates and won all the English prizes because I discovered I knew how to make money. For everybody. And she discovered just how much she needed me.
Excuse me, ma'am. It's just this part here.
He was so loving.
You liked his pal Gazzara as well, a favorite of Gilbert's.
What is it?
Ben Gazzara. You liked Ben Gazzara as well.
I loved him.
Yeah.
Those guys were great. You know what? One of the worst things in my life is turning down John. Who was the partner, the other guy, the other actor?
Cassavetes. What'd you turn him down?
He called me down from the actor's studio. He called me from the actor's studio, and he asked me to come down and do a play with him and Gina and Carol Kane. Wow. I said, I can't. I'm just so sorry.
You regret it.
Huh?
You regret it.
To this day.
Yeah.
To this day. I was shooting a Polaroid commercial. But as you know, that took me to the nearest bus stop, and that was it.
Not taking Jack's advice.
I should have gone down and worked with them on some play they were doing. I don't know what it was. Whatever it was John Cassavetes. I should have just gone and spent the day.
What kind of guy? We were throwing names around, too, before we turned the mics on, and Brenda was delighting Gilbert and I with these names. Harry Gardino.
Oh, I loved him.
Ben Gazzara.
Yeah.
We just
those
loved
guys
him.
Were a team. Love you know, they were the Italian guys running the city, but nobody knew it.
I love these character actors.
Oh, they were so good. They were so good. And their laughter and their jokes, everything about their humor was just, I don't know, I found myself just laughing so hard I had to go pee. I was just in love with all of them. They were so good.
Harry Gardino was in everything.
He was.
Wasn't he good?
He was
worked
great.
All the time.
He was great.
And he had an affair with Janet Stewart, who was the socialite.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Janet Stewart, Rhinelander Stewart, who she was married to John Rhinelander. Look at everybody looking it up.
I'm looking it up.
Looking it up. And she was madly in love. Janet was her name, and it was Serena's mother. Serena was in the Neighborhood Playhouse with me. Serena Rhinelander Stewart. She was an heiress.
Great name.
And her mother married this man who bought and owned Washington Square and hired Sanford White. He's loving this. Look
Sanford
at
Sanford White.
Because I know.
Sure.
To do the inside of Washington Square. These people were rich. Let me tell you. And he was in love with her. And he was having an affair with her. And she was breathtakingly beautiful.
Good stuff, Gil.
Show me a picture of Janet Rhinelander Stewart. I wonder if this little thing will work.
You work in Siri?
Yeah.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up!
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now!
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Let me throw some more fun.
Go, go, go,
let
go,
me throw some
go,
more
go.
Fun.
I just thought
you.
If they popped up, I'd be really.
Tell us about working with Pacino.
Well, I've known him since we were 18. Do you know what I mean?
Why?
We both had Marty Bregman as a manager.
Yeah.
And we were both with him for years. And so every party that Marty Bregman would give, I would see Al there. And we would flirt with each other. He was just the most, you know how beautiful he was when he was young. Oh, my God. He was so handsome.
We were just reading, we had an author here who wrote a book about The Godfather.
Yeah,
and George Lucas's wife said to Coppola, cast him because he undresses you with his eyes.
Yeah. And he has a very powerful presence mm-hmm. when you're with him, mm-hmm. you know?
And you loved working with him and Barry Levinson.
I loved it. I had the best time ever.
You played Jack Kevorkian's sister.
Yes.
And you came up with the idea to do that scene in the Bob's Big Boy.
I read it.
That was your idea.
I read it.
Yeah. And you told Barry you got to make this
scene. And somebody who was a friend knew about it. And wait a minute. What was this now? The sister? What was it again? She knew why he was arrested, why the cops found out.
Yeah, in the scene
about him.
Yeah.
And it was because of the sister's daughter.
That's right.
Who took a check that he wrote, that he paid, signed his name or something and gave it, and the police found that check, and that's how they found him.
That's right.
See, that's
because he's bawling you out in that scene. He's saying you and your daughter.
Yeah, you and your daughter. That was when they split up for 6 months.
That's right.
They split up for 6 months because he was furious at his sister and at the daughter. And then what happened? He went to prison, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did
you meet Kevorkian?
No, but 6 months later, they never got back together again. You know, in the movie, they made them go back together again. But they never got back together. The truth is, she died.
Right. Well, you storm out of the
restaurant. And so 6 months later, she died.
Yeah.
And so he never was able to make it right, to say I love you, to say goodbye, whatever. They had a terrible fight.
It's a good movie and a good scene. And you guys have great on-screen chemistry, but I heard you say that he would throw you sometimes with these improvisations.
Yeah, but I loved it.
Uh-huh.
Do you know that the entire scene, that's a clever way to ask that question, the entire scene in the end in the cafe was all improvised. He had called me at 11 o'clock at night the night before and said, you want to come down here? I'm having a late dinner. And I had my nightgown on. He said, we could run the scene. And I said, is this like Marlon Brando in the back of the car? Remember when they did that scene? Kazan did that thing, come down here. And I said, what's going on, babe? And he said, come on down, let's just run lines. I'm here and I'm having a steak. You want anything? I said, at this hour? No, we got to be up tomorrow. No, come on down. So I went down, we tried to rehearse. Guess what? The entire bar was like this, watching Mr. Pacino. So we had to stop. He said, the script is light. It's just light. I said, I know, because the writer didn't really know. It wasn't in his soul, in his spirit. He had no idea. They'd been put upon him to write this. But you know what I mean? He'd never read the book.
How interesting.
He never thought about it. So the scene didn't have any power. It didn't have any juice. It didn't have any kind of real anger, real disappointment, real betrayal. It was a betrayal scene, right? And so 8:30 in the morning, he tried to rehearse it and he couldn't because everybody was like this, you know, watching him. And so in the morning at 8 o'clock, we're off camera. He turns to me, said, "We're off the script, right? We're off the text. We're off the script. We're off the text. We're off the script. Okay." I'm trying to remember every little thing. And he says, I said, "Oh, okay." He said, "Yeah, we're off. We're off of it." I went, "Okay." That was like getting on a Persian rug going like this in the sky.
Just taking a
trip. It was
with
taking
him,
me for a ride.
Yeah.
And I said, "Okay, fine. Yeah, okay." You know, I wasn't going to get scared. Why would I be scared? I loved him. He's loving.
He loves
actors.
It's maybe the best scene in the whole movie.
It's the best scene. You know what? Yesterday. Mr. Levinson let it run. He didn't know what the hell was going on. The script girl was, nobody knew what we were doing except the two of us. And during scene, I remember thinking I heard my Aunt Marge. My Aunt Marge saying to me about the only daughter left that was with the mother who was bedridden, "What about me? Nobody thinks about me." And I thought, I heard her. And so I did it.
That's great.
I did Aunt Marge in the scene. Remember when I go, "What about me?"
Yes, of course.
"Nobody cares about me."
And then you storm out of the restaurant.
It was Aunt Marge. Who used to make all my dresses for opening night for the theater. She was a bridal designer. She never got married. She was the best lady in the whole world. I loved her so much.
How did Mom and Aunt Marge like Midnight Cowboy, by the way? Because you were concerned about the nudity, as we covered.
I think they were proud as get. They were supportive and loving, and my mother was like, "What are we going to do?" Italian mother, "What are we going to do?"
On one hand, my daughter's in an X-rated movie. On the other hand, it's Best Picture.
That was her line. She said, "I don't know how I'm going to feel if I see your tits before your face."
That was the one. That's the line I was chasing before.
"I don't want to have to look at your tits before I get to see your face in the first movie you've ever done." You know, and I said, "Ma, it's going to be okay. Don't worry." She said, "Well, let us hope so." You know, but they loved it. They were proud as punch. Everybody, I had a healthy family, thank God.
Okay, folks, we're going to pause it right there, which is a perfect place to stop. There was so much great material here from Brenda that we decided to make it a two-parter, which by now you have figured out. And lots more great stuff next week. She talks about working with old Blue Eyes on The First Deadly Sin and our pal Ron Liebman on Zorro the Gay Blade. She weighs in on the famous, the Andrea Martin spoof on SCTV of Brenda's Playtex commercial. Her friendship with the ingenious Peter Cook, working with Faye Dunaway on Supergirl. Lots more goodies next week. It was great to be back in the Sirius studio with Gilbert. Great to be with Brenda. We loved her. We clicked with her, as you heard. And more wonderful stuff in part two next week with the great, legendary Brenda Vaccaro.
Can't hear a word they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. I won't let you leave my love behind. No, I won't let you leave.